sales meeting yesterday, because I want to hear it again. But brought it up yesterday is something that it's been in my head lately, about how the Fitz Group is shaping up and how what we've created. The Fitz Group is recognized by the owners of NAA. And when I say the Fitz Group, I'm not talking about Fitz. I'm not talking about Heather. I'm not talking about Fitz and Heather. I'm not talking about Joanne and Bruno. I'm talking about everybody, the Fitz Group. Everybody that produces in a month is part of the group. And NAA recognizes the Fitz Group as having the agency within NAA to duplicate. You know, if you want to build a team, this is what the owners are saying. It's not what we're bragging about ourselves. They say this. They say if you want to build a team, if you want to build an agency in an insurance business, you should do what the Fitz Group has done. And what they credit us with doing is creating a factory. And I've been picturing this factory here for 2-3 weeks now, just picturing how it looks. We talked about it yesterday in the sales meeting. I actually, during summers and Christmases in college, worked in a textile mill. So it's a factory of sorts. I kind of got a firsthand image of what working in a factory is like. I don't know how many on this call have actually worked in factories per se, but I need you to understand what the factory is. The factory starts off with a foundation. The foundation that we put you through, when you first get started with us, everybody on this call, before you got your first lead, went through a Thursday training class. We do it every Thursday, unless it's like Thanksgiving coming up. We're obviously not going to do it on Thanksgiving. But what we do in that class, and you guys went through, is we train you on HomeCertain and Saver Select, two of our most basic products, two of the simplest products, two of the easiest to get issued products, two of the products that are going to get you paid the fastest. That's just foundation. That's not all the products we sell. It's just the foundation. Okay? We also train you on the Hudgins system. And I was talking to the Hudgins selling system. I was talking to a brand new agent this morning up in Oklahoma, and he's going to be in training class next Thursday. And I said, we're going to train you on our selling system. He said, you've got a selling system? I said, yeah. I said, we're not arrogant enough to think that our selling system is the only way to sell mortgage protection. But we're confident that not everybody knows how to sell it. And so what we teach you in our training class is we teach you a system to go out there and sell and make money. Okay, but we don't expect that to be all. Just like HomeCertain and Saver Select, we don't expect that to be the only product you ever sell your clients. We do expect it to be the primary focus and really the first thing that you're in there to show them. And Ralph and Todd will talk about that in a second. But we don't expect you to limit yourself to just those two forever. We expect you to expand into other products. Okay, but with the Hudgins system, we expect you to learn that system because it teaches somebody who has no idea how to sell, teaches them how to sell mortgage protection to the tune of making $40,000-$50,000 a year on a steady basis on a low side. Okay, that's what the Hudgins system is designed to do. But we don't expect you to not ever learn anything from your experiences in the field. And Ralph and Todd are going to talk about in a little bit about what they've learned in the field. And how it sort of changed a little bit of what they do, and they're just constantly tweaking and sharpening and getting themselves better, okay? But that's the foundation is that Thursday training class. I hope you guys are writing this down because it's a good visual to see. We wrote it up on the board yesterday. Right above that foundation, in the training class, we give you a training manual. No, we didn't put that together, so we would waste paper, and so we'd waste printing. And waste money in putting it together and waste time and the effort that it took to put it together. We didn't do it for that reason. We did it so you would have a reference tool to go back and study more. Guy was asking me about products yesterday. I looked at him sincerely, directly in his eyes. I said, we gave you a training manual, right? He said, yes, yeah. All that's in there. He said, it is? I said, yeah. It's your manual, okay? When you get a VCR, you get a manual. Otherwise, you don't know how to work it oftentimes. I know that's true with hooking up DVD players or anything you got. It's your manual, so that's what you use to study. Same with the tapes. Those are training tapes on how to use this factory, how to make this factory turn into a money factory for you. Okay? So that's the next level. The level above that is Tuesday sales meetings. And if you're not local, it's unfortunate that you can't tie into our sales meeting. But you know what? We're hoping to get sales meetings started in every area that we're in But in the meantime, if you want to take a trip and just come in for a Tuesday sales meeting in Dallas, oh gosh, Fitz, that's so far away. I guarantee you'll get something from it. But if you want to take that trip, it's a good one to tune into. It's a good one to come to. But immediately following that, Philip Hudgens does a training system, a training call on his selling system. Again, and that's the foundation of how to sell. What he's teaching, again, is the basics of selling. All right? So he does a call on that. The next level above that is we do a Wednesday conference call. And you guys who are listening to my voice right now, you're on the call. Congratulations. We do this call every Wednesday morning, 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock Central Time. It's meant to give you more information to make you a better and more complete agent so that you're able to make money for the rest of your life doing this. Okay? At 12 o'clock on Wednesday, Central Time, again, we live in Texas, I do, and every the world centers around Texas when you're in Texas, in case you guys don't know that. NAA does a conference call at 12 o'clock every Wednesday, every Wednesday. Now, about 3 or 4 months ago, or maybe it was almost a year ago, they asked some of us to push out of that meeting and not tie into that call anymore. And now they're saying you guys can come back into the meeting if you like. So I'm encouraging you guys to tie into that. It is a solid call. They have, you're probably talking about 300-400 people that are going to tune in on any given Wednesday to this call. They have presidents of insurance companies tuning in. They have the owners giving specific information that's coming out that NAA is introducing. You know, they talk about the new insurance companies that are coming out, like Chase Bank. Is a new insurance company that we're coming out with. November 1, you'll be able to sell it. Okay, so that's the kind of stuff that goes on those calls. Again, it's just one more machine in this factory to polish you, to finish you, to make you a better agent so that you can make money. Okay, the next step. So you started off with the foundation of that Thursday training. And then you... The next step above that was tapes and a training manual. The next step above that was Tuesday sales meetings, and on Tuesdays, that Hudgens call. The next step above that was the Wednesday Fitz Group call, which you're on right now, and then the NAA call is going to be an hour after we get off this call. Right above that, you have conversations with your manager and mentor. The manager, as Andy says, is the one what brung you. He's the one that brung you. I said. The manager is the guy that recruited you, okay? The manager is the guy that you report to. Maybe he's not going to end up being your mentor. The definition of a mentor, and I'm not slamming any of the managers because I think anybody that we have recruiting is a mentor and should be your mentor. So I'm not slamming them, but it's not always the case. A mentor is somebody who's been through what you're trying to go through and they've done it successfully. That's a mentor. So if you want to talk to somebody who's been out in the field and made sales, and you're struggling, you want to talk to them, that's a mentor. It's somebody you can talk to. It's okay to have multiple mentors, all right? So that's the next step. And the step, to me, sort of the final step in all of this, the final cog in the wheel, if you will, is real-life experience. It's the laboratory of life. You know, you get out there, you get in the field, you get your nose bloodied, and you tie back into this factory. Right, so you've stepped into the factory and gone through the training class, you listened to the tapes and manual, you've listened to the conference calls, you've tuned into with your manager, you've tuned into all the NAA calls, and then you step out of the factory, you go out there and you run an appointment, maybe you make a sale, maybe you don't. Either way, you get back into the factory, walk back in the front door, and go through it again. Just constantly, constantly sharpening who you are and what you're going to be. All right, and that's what this call today is especially meant to be. These two guys, Ralph and Todd, you hear their names all the time around the Fitz Group, and more you're hearing their names all the time around NAA. Last week, I think Todd was number 2 in the country in personal production. The week before that, I think Todd was number 6 in the country, or number 5 or 6. This past week, Ralph Simpson was number 5 in the country. The week before that, he was either number 4 or number 5. I can't. He was just one space ahead of Todd in the country, guys. In the country. You heard that right, Todd?
He was behind me.
He was behind you?
Yes.
Oh, I apologize.
Just clarify that.
But these guys have been out there. They've gone through. They listened to the conference calls. They had mentors and have mentors that constantly sharpen them and help strengthen them. And now they're stud producers. These guys write $40,000 in a month if they want to. If they don't want to, they don't. But if they want to, they're writing $40,000 on a low end. So that said, I kind of want to, what this is going to be today, guys, is we're sort of going to do an interview of these two guys, allowing you to, you know, really hear some of their thoughts. We had some good questions in the sales meeting yesterday, and so I've incorporated those in the questions that I'm going to ask them to hopefully, so we don't have to necessarily open it up and hear a lot of background static. But at the end, we will open it up so that any questions that you have can be answered directly by these two guys. But, and this question is for both of you. Ralph, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. This first question is for both of you. You can answer it, you know, however you want. I asked you guys yesterday, why did you, and answer this for yourself, obviously, why did you start traveling? And I think everybody on the call should understand that, that very little, I think, Todd, last month, two applications were actually written in DFW, but you guys live in DFW. You live very, you know, sort of on the west side of Dallas-Fort Worth, and none of your business is written here. You're traveling. You're either driving or you're flying, and you're definitely staying in a hotel while you're there. What started you doing that traveling?
You started me?
Okay. Go ahead.
I started traveling simply because, working with an agency, agent of mine is putting on this, and Kip Sutherland, he doesn't mind me mentioning his name, great producer, by the way, and great guy. Production is down in his area. He's working with Tyler, and I started faxing leads to him one day, and I thought, whoops, hold on a second, why am I faxing this guy 9 leads when production is way down? Leads suck, the area is not the best of areas, not DFW. So I pulled it out and then called on the lead myself that weekend, went out and For the first time traveling out of the DFW area to run Lee, drove 120 miles to Tyler, small town, 120 miles east of Dallas. Well, is it east? I think it's east.
East.
And did almost $11,000 on that one day. Left out 6 o'clock in the morning, got back home at 10 o'clock at night, but with $11,000 in premium. That got me very excited. And of course, the competition started because while I was out there, Todd Besner was on the line. Started communicating with me on the phone, and Todd was running leads in Amarillo. And so, you know, we had a bit of competition between us, and that's what got me started. And each week in, week out, you know, my wife wants different things. Like this week, she wants to build a big koi pond with a rock waterfall, and it's like the price of a house. And now we're going to be running leads again for the next 6 weeks, okay? Weekend, that is, in order to pay for that pond. That's my purpose in the motivation for doing it.
Yeah. Well, now, Ralph, while we're on this, tell the wrap up of that. You know, you went out there in this agent's backyard.
Yes.
Tell the wrap up. Tell the rest of the story.
Okay, I continued, went out, did $11,000, called the agent and told the agent that I went and stole $11,000 out of his own backyard. And most agents would have been very upset, you know, the fact that I'm using their leads to benefit myself. The idea was to see whether or not the leads did suck and whether people over there wasn't receptive to this program. And he took it very well, took it very positively, and now Kip Sutherland, who was mentioned earlier by Heather, is one of our top producers. I believe he's number 5 right now within our organization. And he's got production, actually just emailed me with another 5 applications that he wrote traveling. And he's adopted the idea of traveling out of Tyler into different parts of Texas to run leads and make cash.
Right, and you said something there that I think is a common sentiment among agents, that most agents would have been offended that you took his leads and made sales.
Right.
And I think a lot of agents think that they own these leads.
Right.
And they don't. They own them with their production. If their production's there, they own the leads, and there's no question about it. But if the production's not there, well, we're paying probably, if you're getting free leads, we're paying for them, so they really are.
Right.
And not to get into quibbling about it, but you know, we've got to make sure as good managers and good business owners that there's profit coming from that, or it's a loss, and that's bad business.
And, yeah, that was my motivation. And the following week, actually, I flew from Dallas to Florida, and I can forget about my Florida trip. And I went down there for 2 or 3 days and came back with $7,000 in premium. And I'm just saying that for my guys on the line right now in Florida. Florida is an excellent market. I mean, I did my apprenticeship in a factory down in Florida and made a fortune in South Florida. It's a great market for, and just letting you guys know down there that, you know, you, if you're not selling in South Florida, you're missing the boat.
There you go.
The boat.
Well, there's people on this call, I'm sure, and I know you have agents in South Florida. I have a couple of agents in South Florida.
Right.
And the comment I get from South Florida is, Fitz, these people are old.
Yeah.
Yeah, no crap. You're in South Florida. That's how that's going to work. Hey, Todd, what got you to traveling? Why'd you start traveling around?
I wanted the leads here in Dallas-Fort Worth. I wanted my agents to have them. And so I just started taking leads in other places. And actually, I guess what started it was we put in a GMR and Amarillo for all the leads, and then all of a sudden one day we had leads. And didn't have anybody hired up there and went and ran them. And thought it was a good deal, so I travel.
Just that simple.
If you spend, you know, you spend $1,200 for a weekend trip, and write $12,000 to $15,000, well, you have to be a genius to figure out that you made money. Now, if you travel and you can't close anything, you're gonna go broke doing that.
Right. That's absolutely right. You got to know you're closing if you're gonna travel.
Exactly.
If you can't close, stay home and learn how to close.
You know, I think a year ago someone was, you know, I don't know who it was, but somebody was saying, you know, that I had an advantage being able to travel to another place where it's a small town and had all these leads. But if you can't close here or wherever you're at, you're not going to be able to close them there.
Right.
And I don't know what makes people think that, but maybe it's an excuse. I don't know.
Well, I think what makes people think that is, you know, going back to this factory example, they look at the factory and they see people come on board and they see people have success and they're still working. Well, we talked about it yesterday in the sales meeting. When I worked in the textile mill, you know, I worked in a finishing plant, so it meant it was laying the finishing coat on all of the fabric that was going through. Oftentimes, fabric would catch the machine up, and the machine would break down, and we'd have to go out there and fix it and repair it and get the fabric running back through. And most of the fabric would run through smoothly. Well, that's the difference. Is some of the agents go through the factory pretty smoothly and they come out and they're producing, they're closing, and it's a piece of cake, and it can be frustrating for the other agents that get caught up in the machine because there was something that they weren't quite doing right. There was something that was catching in that machine. And so you've now, and I think it's important to mention too, you brought this up and I apologize for not bringing it up. These two guys, you guys on the call, they just were recognized by Heather as having great weeks last week for their teams. And you know, they're recognized on the NAA leaderboards. When NAA sends out their leaderboards every week and every month, they're recognized as agencies on those boards, which means they at least are producing as a team. So, or they wouldn't have that recognition. So they're not just out there personally producing, they're also working with agents on a constant basis, and I dare say, you know, each agent on this phone, think about how many times a day you call your manager. Now multiply that by how many people your manager manages, and that's the workload your manager has. And I think a lot of people, and I'm saying this, Ralph and Todd, for y'all's benefit, a lot of people will call you thinking that you are their only concern.
No, and
in all reality, you've got bills to pay, and you've got families, and you've got cars, and you've got, you know, production to do, and you've got other agents that also think that you are their only concern. So, yeah,
they are my only concern.
Why is that?
They are at the time. I mean,
there you go.
Everybody is.
There you go. But not all the time.
I know.
Not all the time are you thinking about it.
I'm playing politics.
I'm with you. I'm playing bad cop, you're playing good cop.
Exactly.
It works out. I thought it was interesting yesterday in our sales meeting, and it was a question that kind of came up, and at the same time it was sort of discussed a little bit. You guys have interesting thoughts when you actually receive your leads. And some folks may say you value the lead or whatever, but I know that when you guys, and I think it's important for everybody on the call to know, you know, Ralph, as he mentioned earlier, was an apprentice in another factory in South Florida before he came on board with us. So he's been through the factory. He's been sharpened. He's been mentored. Todd actually went through our factory, and 2 years ago was hired, and took 6 months to break 10,000. But then once he did, it was Katie barred the door. It was 10, 15, 20, 25. I think his best month was a little over $30,000 on a personal basis before just recently. So, and I know that you guys have always thought like this. It's not something that you've just started thinking. But when you get a lead, what goes through your head? What are you thinking about that family? What are you thinking about yourself? Give us some thoughts there.
Rob? Well, of course, a couple of things go through my head when I receive a lead. Number one, of course, is cash. You know, I'm always thinking about money, so that's the first thought. And the second thought, which could be the first thought also, I guess, is to get to the lead as soon as possible. You know, make that call, contact that client as soon as possible. The lead is fresh, the client's there waiting for the call, and contact them, you know, immediately and go out and see them within 2 or 3 days. So that is the initial thought when I receive a lead. You know, it's valuable.
Gotcha. We don't set on leads. It amazes me. Send somebody leads, and you know, a week and a half later, you're talking. Hey, how's your leads? Well, you know, I got my pen organizer on my desk set where I wanted it, and I'm fixing to start calling. What? You kidding me? That's the same one that's going to call back and say, "Man, these leads are old. Guys have already sold them."
So. When you guys get your leads, you don't go ahead and run quotes and see how much it's going to cost for that person?
No, not at all. In fact, I don't read the lead. All I look at the telephone number and the client's name, okay, and don't even look at the dollar amount being significant. I just call the client. I don't even check their age out 9 times out of 10. You know, they've sent the lead in, and I know that if this lead comes to us from NAA, they're qualified. You know, unless there's a big no charge on top, I know that it's the person above the age of 85.
Right.
You know, we've got products for clients 85 and under. And I've got agents in my group that constantly cry, well, the client's too old, like in Florida, you know, I'm 73 years old. That's the best kind, if you ask my opinion. You know, those guys, they want insurance, they're going to pay the $200 to $300 a month of premium, get approved, and stay on the books.
Right. And I think the way I hope everybody's catching the attitude that's there is some folks get leads and they see a 73-year-old and they go, ah, crap, that's a 73-year-old. The prices are going to be high. But you guys get the 73-year-old and you go, you know what? They sent the letter in just the same as the 27-year-old did.
Exactly.
They need the coverage
too. They're sending that in because they want mortgage protection. That's why they send it in. Your job is to go see them. Give up the bottom line and write the application. End of discussion. That's what your job is.
That's it, isn't it?
And the key is, you know, they do want mortgage protection. And like I said in the meeting yesterday, you know, there's a lot of agents that are very experienced in selling the, you know, the universal life products and et cetera, et cetera. That's not the time, in my opinion, to go out there and introduce them to another product other than what they're applying for. You know, I just got this feeling in my mind that if I do that, go then switch it to a universal, massive choice or what have you, which are great products, by the way, it's almost like a bait and switch. That's the time to introduce that is when you go back with a policy, then you introduce them to the universal products. These guys want what's on the lead, the 4 bullet points, you know, the death, disability, unemployment, return of premium. Those are the points you go there to talk about, and you'll walk out 9 times out of 10 with an application.
But keep the main thing the main thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Show them what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess I got a list of other questions, but I just popped in my head something that you said yesterday, Ralph, and Todd said, hey, Ralph's got a good way to overcome this. But when people tell you on the phone, can you just mail me some information? I love what you came back with. What do you say?
Sure. In fact, I've already mailed you the information. You know, have to use on calling to follow through with and come by and see you and get you covered. Yeah, I've already mailed you the information. You know, what more do you want?
Now, there's some agents on the call that may not have caught what you said. They may say, well, what did you mail them?
Okay, well, we mailed them with a lead. Okay, we mailed them with a lead. And I've never had a comeback. I mean, you know, well, is that it? You know, that's it. You know, we're going to, I mean, it spells it out. That lead is a selling tool. It tells them everything that we can cover them with. It's non-medical, death, disability, unemployment, return of premium, no physical. You know, all I got to do is go out there 20 minutes later and get them covered. Yeah, move on to the next one.
Man. that easy?
It really is. If you take that attitude, I mean, that side will come over. You cannot be afraid to, you just cannot be afraid to call these clients. I mean, they are expecting the phone call.
Right.
And yeah, every now and again, you're going to come across your little challenges, but, you know, 1 out of 1,000, big deal.
And it was asked yesterday, when is the optimum time that you found to call? When's the best time?
2 to 4 a.m.
I think, well, Todd, I think you said something like Sunday night.
That was always my time.
That was the time that you found that.
Exactly.
And my best time has always been between 7 and 8.30 in the morning. 7 o'clock in the morning and 8.30 in the morning.
I think the trick is find the time that's working and, mm-hmm. and work that. Use that time. That's a question that the new agents ask me all the time. Fitz, what's the best time to call these leads? And Ralph, you mentioned something about 24-hour business yesterday.
Yeah, I did. I take the business serious. It's my profession. It's my career. And you got to think about it constantly. You know, if you're out on an appointment, you take a lead with you. You know, I just said the best time to call for me is between 7 and 8.30 in the morning. That's not going to prevent me from calling at 9, 10, 11, 12, 30, you know, all the way around the clock in the day. The best time to call is constantly throughout the day. Keep a lead with you, call the clients, and just be on guard, you know, to get that next sale.
Yep. And Todd, you mentioned yesterday that on Monday you were on the phone for how many hours?
Oh, this last Monday?
Yeah.
I was on the phone from 9 o'clock until probably 9:30, 10 at night.
There you go. 12-hour day on the phone. Now, it's very hard to be nonstop on the phone for 12 hours. That's why you take breaks. I mean, obviously, you got to get up and use the bathroom. You got to have some lunch. You got to go get a drink of water. But I mean, still pretty
steady
12 hours.
That's why they make portable phones.
Hmm?
That's why they make portable phones.
That's also why they make mute buttons.
Right.
You guys believe this is a numbers game. Tell me about that. How do you play the numbers? What is it?
Well, to me, callers see everybody. You know, I don't judge the lead. You know, I don't, if you don't understand this field, I don't qualify them on the telephone.
Right.
You know, they send the lead in, it's my duty to receive them at least. So they give them that courtesy.
Right.
Okay. And the more I see, the more chance I've got of setting sales. I can stay home and call 20 leads, or say 10 leads, and make 2 appointments and get 2 sales. Or I can call 10 leads and see 9 people and get 4 sales. The first 2, by the way, is qualified, and the second half is not qualified. I'd rather do the latter. Just
right.
Sort of see the math, you know.
You feel like your real strength is in going ahead and seeing people, and you feel like, and by doing that, you're going to close more people than you would on the phone.
Yeah, and I know both of you guys
are actually real good at reading people, too.
Right, I know the agent on the phone is saying, well, yeah, I've got a guy who's got diabetes, insulin dependent on oxygen tank, or blah, blah, blah. Guess what? We've got products that can cover those folks, okay? So I'm armed with that product in my briefcase when I go and see the client.
Right.
You know, done. Yeah, so if that guy's on an oxygen tank, then I'll pull out the presidential and write him presidential.
Just that simple, isn't it?
It's as simple as that.
And Todd, you were saying, you were telling us yesterday about a story that you guys had, you had on Sunday morning, I believe,
uh-huh.
This past Sunday.
Great story.
You wanted to catch an early flight home, but you had all these appointments that you had to run still. You met with this one guy, he showed up, and he was in underwear. Tell us about that.
Well, he was in underwear. And no offense, I've never seen a black man in underwear. Kind of scared me. His wife, I saw a sign on the door said oxygen present. Of course, I don't smoke, but I'm thinking, oh, man, great. 9 o'clock or 8:45 Sunday morning, and I would come into this. He came to the door. I said, the daughter came to the door, woke him up. He came to the door in his underwear, walked in the house. I told him, I said, I need your wife. Can you go get your wife? And he said, well, she's sleeping. She's sick. Is she on oxygen? Yeah, she is sick, I guess. Make a long story short, she didn't come out there. Used to, I would have got up and left. And I asked him, I said, now, are you going to need her to make a decision, or are you going to make a decision on your own? And I'm kind of perturbed, you know, I'm tired, I'm ready to go home, I'm And it was in my mind at that point, this guy, this sucker's writing me a check. Went through the presentation, showed him what it is, how much it costs. You know, it's $137, Mr. Jones. Well, that's too much money. Well, how much did you want to spend? Under 100? He said, yeah, that'll work. Took a couple things off, said $95, and this is what you get. What's your Social Security number? He said, oh, that's too much money. I said, what? He's lied to me. He just told me under $100 was your budget. What changed in 10 seconds? And he said, well, that's just too much. So the next one I showed him was $61. Grabbed the application, grabbed the pen, started writing, didn't ask anything. What's your social, what's your middle initial? Boom. Got down to the check and I was waiting for some resistance. I said, I'll need a check for $61.56. He said, I thought it was $57. I said, no, it's $61.56. Just need a check for that amount. Made the F&G line. Got up, went and got a checkbook, wrote a check. He said, thanks for coming out and getting me covered.
And that's, I think what a lot of folks would miss there in your story is that the application was on the table.
And I don't mean sucker in a bad way. I don't mean that.
Right, right.
I'm sitting there thinking, this guy, he's going to write me a check.
Right. And the application's on the table. You tell him how much it is, and you start filling out the application.
That easy? Isn't that why you're there?
And that goes right into how you guys close. And you know, the common term in the sales industry is the assumptive close. That's what you guys use, is the assumptive close. And I think Todd just gave you kind of an example of that. Ralph, tell us, you know.
Be covered. Simple as that. They want to be covered. I made the appointment, go out there, and pretty much just give them the price. While I'm doing that, okay, I'll pull out the application. The application is in front of me. In front of them, I will open my laptop and quote them $175 and look at their reaction. If it's a positive reaction, I'll start writing their name as they're looking at each other or probably just discussing with each other. And if there's no response, no negative response, I'll just ask for the social security number. Then Mr. Jones, okay, what's your social security number? And automatically, she'll give it to me. Okay, perfect. Okay, and the beneficiary in the event of your death, who do you want a check made payable to? Your husband, great, I'll write the husband down before. No, the application's complete. And at the very end of that, okay, which I love, is, well, do you want to void check also, or who do I make the check payable to? Yeah, 'cause I'm going straight into the actual close. You know, they want the product, guys. You know, they want to be sold. I wouldn't say be sold, they're already sold, but they want to be covered.
Right.
And there's nothing to sell because they've sold themselves.
Now, Todd, you sort of told us yesterday, once you're in the home, so we just heard from Ralph. I mean, as soon as you get the letter, as soon as you guys get that lead back, you're assuming this person wants to buy.
Done.
So none of this is an argument or a debate over whether they should buy or not. It's all about which product they're going to get. It's not do you need a car, it's what color did you want your interior to be.
How much is it going to cost?
It all comes down to the bottom line. And I think a lot of guys on this call would like to hear, Todd, for example, give us an outline of your in-home presentation. I know it's not a long presentation. Just give us an outline, not asking you to give us all your secrets and all that stuff. But, for example, do you use feature sheets? Do you use printouts? What if someone gives an objection?
I think a secret, you need a Colt 45. I don't need that. I've used everything that... I mean, it's everything that we have, F&G has.
As far as presenting prices?
Exactly, on how to present and whatnot. And I like simple. And when I saw how Ralph did, I looked at him, and you can ask him, the words out of my mouth was, there's no way. And he said, just try it.
What is it?
When I get to the house, of course, they asked me what I want to drink, and I also got this from Ralph. I always tell them a glass of scotch will be fine. And he gets a chuckle from
the guys, correct.
So, when I sat down at the table, I laid the lead out. Folks, or Mr. Jones, this is your handwriting. You sent the card in. obviously you're sold on this. I can take 2 hours and show you flip charts and graphs, or I can take 15 minutes and give you the bottom line. Which one do you prefer? And every time they say, give me the 15-minute bottom line. Great. Do you have any health challenges? No, or yes, what are they? High blood pressure, okay. You know, right then and there, I know where I'm going to have to go with it. You know, if they say, well, you know, they stuck me on oxygen last month. But obviously, you know what you're going to have to do with that. Or I had a bypass 3 years ago. You know what you're going to have to do with that. I go right down the lead. Mr. Jones, in the event you die, pays your wife $100,000. If you die, if she dies, it pays you $100,000.
So you're going right down the lead, the bullet points that are on that letter.
Death, disability, okay. If you become disabled, it takes care of your mortgage, your taxes, and insurance for 2 years. If you become unemployed, it takes care of your insurance premiums for 6 months. If you outlive the coverage, you get all your money back. Do you have any questions? Now, if they don't qualify for the disability, I'm gonna mention critical illness. You can't qualify for disability, but we have a rider that's called critical illness that's very similar that you can qualify for. I'll tell them what it covers. Hey, baby. Do you like that? Nope, not a problem. And then it's simple. Open the laptop. I don't show them the laptop. I've had one or two clients say, let me see this. But I don't show them. Because then you get to a point where they start picking and choosing that. Take that off and that off. And before you know it, you're down to a simple home certain that doesn't have a rider on it. Which is going to get replaced. And I tell the wife, or, you know, Miss Jones, yours is 87. Mr. Jones, yours is 194. Who do you want the check cut to when you die?
Going straight to the application.
Yeah, and the apps are on the table.
The whole time.
And that has a huge effect, because when you pull the lead out in your computer, you should have two apps laying there. And you should lay them to where they can see them. And they'll glance down at them. You know, in big green writing, it says life insurance application. They know what that's for.
Right. Now, Ralph, you have a couple of tweaks that you mentioned yesterday to what the basic outline that Todd just gave. One of them is when he gets done with the four bullet points, he asks that question, do you have any questions? You mentioned yesterday that you don't necessarily say that.
No, I never ask if I have any questions, because, you know, you're just going to open up a can of worms if you can't handle it. It's not necessary. I do ask somebody to write a check and put in my briefcase and move on to them. Well, I'm not quite sure what point you want to get to, but I simply close out at that point and move on.
You said yesterday that you get done with those four bullet points and you go straight into punching up the numbers.
Yeah. Just like I said just a moment ago.
Yes.
That's what I do. I mean, I go straight into... what I'll do, I'll go through my presentation. It's identical to Todd's, because Todd kind of showed him how I did that. I have the laptop in front of me,
yeah.
Facing me. The client don't see it. I make sure they sit pretty much opposite each other. I know we say don't do that, but I can control the situation better, personally, doing that way. I watch the body language. I'll go through the four pointers. And death, a disability, unemployment, return of premium. I go a little bit one further by telling them that I'm going to show you all the bells and whistles. I think that's what you're trying to get me to get to say, right?
Right.
I'm going to show you all the bells and whistles, Mr. and Mrs. Clients, okay? And I'm going to prepare you for it. It's going to be the most expensive that you'll pay for this, okay? However, if it's too much, we can take certain things off. I've got no problem saying that, okay? So I'll point the computer. It's $375.74. And the most common response is that for both of us. And I love that, okay?
Yeah.
So right away, they, you know, it's telling me that they can't afford that for both of them.
Right.
And 9 times out of 10, it's not. Well, always not. It's, you know, it's for one individual.
Right.
I'll say this for you, Mr. Jones. Ooh. So for both of you can handle it, no problem. So I'll quote him. I'll take off the disability, and the return of premium, okay, to bring it down to a more reasonable amount. I'll always keep on the extended premium guarantee. I'll never take that off. That's the must. And the reason for that, because of a chance of replacement. And, yeah, I'm sure everybody knows what a replacement is. An agent comes in behind you, pulls out the application, looks at the policy, and see a 20-year policy with a 5-year guarantee. They'll tear to shreds and you lost yourself a deal.
Right.
So that 20-year policy will have a 20-year extended premium all the way through on every single one of my applications. Okay? And at that point,
Now, do you tell them that you're taking off the disability and return of premium, take it off and show them a new price?
No. I will ask the client, I say, by the way, you got disability at work, right? And say, oh, yeah. In this case, sir, I'll lower my voice. You don't need it. You don't need disability.
Right.
As if I'm doing them a favor.
Right.
And they always agree. So that's the first thing I take off. And I really try and sell without disability. And that's probably why, you know, I get things approved almost instantaneously.
Right.
You know, I mean, I try and take that off. And if a client insists upon it, then of course I'll sell it. My choice would be to sell the critical illness personally.
Mm.
Okay, but if they want the disability, they're going to have it. And if they don't care either way, they're not going to have it. Especially if my average age of my clients is around 50 years old. Okay, so I try to stay away from that. A 30-year-old client, you know, sure, you know, load them up for the death disability, the full bells and whistles, the premium of about $45 a month, and no one's going to say no to that.
Right.
And
at that point, it's a numbers game. You just pick up a bunch of those $45 a month deals. You walk away with $10,000 in a weekend.
It pays my airline ticket. It pays my hotel. It's like one application. You know, I'm not going to turn away. You know, my lowest premium, I think, has been $18.
Yeah.
I'm not going to turn it away, especially when you're out in the field traveling, you know, what I'm doing.
Now, you also mentioned you have your own form. A lot of us who have been in the sales business before, industry before, not necessarily insurance, but just in sales, have heard about, you know, having testimonials and having like a three-ring binder of typed up letters or whatever from previous clients. You have your own form of that. How do you do that?
Okay, what I do, I've got applications that were pre-written, you know, these are genuine applications that when I place, I've got a paper clip with a check on top of it.
Right.
And when I open up my briefcase and pull out my laptop, the application with the check will accidentally fall on the floor in wide view of the clients, and they see that application with a check, and they'll see that there's another agent, another client out there that's been approved of, just that's come under my wing.
Right.
It strengthens credibility.
Sure.
It really does.
They know this in your first rodeo.
Exactly. It's great for the weekend, especially if it's my seventh appointment. I know that there's at least maybe 7 applications, you know, prior to that, and they'll see the entire batch.
Right.
And every now and again, I may make reference to one of them. You know, this lady right here, she's 27 years old. It's going to cost him $27 a month. Or I'll say this gentleman here is 64 years old. His check's $400 a month.
Now, you're talking about just recently being in Houston, and you're sitting with a mother and a daughter. The mother was 70, the daughter was 40.
Correct.
Tell us that story.
Okay. When I quoted the rates for the mother, it was, to her, astronomical. It was absolutely no. She said, I can't do it, can't afford it, fixed income, da-da-da-da-da. And the... And she wanted it. I mean, she just couldn't afford what I quoted her.
Right.
The daughter sat right next to her and said, Mother, you don't need it anyway. You don't need it. And that was done. I mean, when the daughter and daughters, you know, she's going to say, yeah, one day she says, no, you don't need it, it's not going to happen.
Right.
Anyway, I said to the mother, I said, ma'am, the reason why the premium is like, you know, $400 a month is because I can almost guarantee you 30 years ago, an agent like myself came and sat in this probably the same home and tried to sell you insurance, and you were extremely healthy. And you said no, just like you're saying it's 30 years later. For example, your daughter. Okay, I have no idea how old your daughter is. I said, ma'am, how old are you? And she said 14. It worked out perfectly. And I said to her, I want to give you an example of what it would cost you, Mrs. the mother. Okay, what it would cost you if you were your daughter's age. And I put the exact same numbers, and it was a $25,000 death benefit. Put the exact same numbers in the computer, with all the bells and whistles, you know, the extending, the return, the disability, the full works, okay? And it came out to, I think, $24, $28, okay, for the 40-year-old. and yet the Mars premium was, you know, like sky high.
Right.
And for 15 years without the extended premium, she didn't qualify for that.
Right.
And right then, I rest my case. And the daughter, she showed interest and asked certain questions, and at that point, I closed the door to him, took the application from the daughter right there and then, turned it around. And she promised me anytime I want to go and see the Texans play, you know, she'll get tickets for me because she's one of the big kids in the NFL. Tickets for the Texans, Houston Texans.
And so if someone gives you an objection, you basically ignore it, Todd?
Hear what the... You're going to hear what the client's saying, but don't listen.
Right. Give an example.
Unless they... Okay, if they say... Well, I don't want the disability. You need to listen to that. If they say, well, that seems high, you don't need to listen to that. You're going to hear it, and it's kind of like blah, 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 blah.
Oh, like Charlie Brown's teacher.
Yeah, wah, 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 wah. Fill out the application, okay? The only way I stop filling it out, if they say, no, I don't want this, get out of my house.
Right.
Okay. Did I do something to make you mad? Do you not trust me? I mean, what's wrong? Why aren't we taking care of this?
And if someone's unhealthy?
We've got the product. We need to ride them.
It's there.
We've got U.S. Financial.
And Presidential. It'll ride anybody.
Yeah.
And I was telling a guy this morning on a phone call, I said, you know, I said, it's the craziest thing. What NAA allows us to do is just be salesmen and go out there and sell. You know, we don't have to think about what if somebody's too unhealthy. Well, we got products for that. There's no such thing as too unhealthy with us because we'll guarantee issue anything for somebody between the ages of 40 and 80. Give me a break. Sign here. And it's just like you said. You guys said they needed it when they sent that letter in. Don't prejudge them by the price that you're showing them.
Another thing I think agents do, and I really didn't realize this until Ralph and he had a great point, was they bring objections up that otherwise wouldn't come up by pre-qualifying.
Hmm.
What'd you send the card in for? Okay. You hope they say, well, I really need it. But what if they say, I just wanted information? You just created something.
Right.
Well, how you can overcome that?
Right.
So I just got an email from one of my agents, new agents, just and the question is, how do you overcome shoppers? You know, folks that are shopping around, you know, they'll come out and say, well, I'm just shopping. You know, and it's an easy answer to me, okay? And I just tell the clients, listen, guys, Mr. Client, I'm a broker. I'm an independent broker. I don't
speak up just a little bit, Ralph.
I don't just represent one company. Okay, but what I'm showing you right now is the premium mortgage protection company that will cover you without the need of a medical. If you want to shop around, let's shop around together. Okay, you tell them which company you want to go with. And I've never, ever had anybody pull me on that. Never. I'll close my laptop, and at that point, they'll see the icons on my desktop. And no one ever pulled into one of the icons and said, well, let's see what this company can do. Or that company. I've got three companies on my desktop, actually. And then at that point I'm making is, listen to the client, and if it's me, if you don't like me, I can understand, okay? And I've got someone else in my office, okay, that I can send over to you, that'll probably do a better job than myself. Because what they're saying, what they're shopping around, either they don't like you or they can't afford it.
Right.
You know, and if they can't afford it, then let's get down to the bottom line, let's try and make it affordable. And that, to me, that's a very easy objection to overcome. I had that on two occasions at the weekend. Two occasions, and I used the same clothes and came out with two applications. You know, if it's me, I can understand. I'll get somebody else in my office. I'll come over and do a much better job than me. If it's about the money, just be honest with me, and I can work something out for you.
Right.
But instead of paying $50,000 debt space, let's cut it in half. You know, bring it down to $30,000 a month. So $30,000 debt space, and then you get yourself an additional $15,000 accidental debt in the event of premature death or accident. You know, just thought I'd share that with you.
That's good stuff. Sort of wrapping up here, I know that on a lot of our minds, and we're about to open it up for questions, but before that, I wanted to kind of get Todd to talk about the national convention that's coming up in January. Just real briefly, because it's on a lot of our minds. The National Convention is coming up January 28th through the 30th. It's going to be in Atlanta, Georgia. Its early bird rate is $269. If you'd like to attend the leadership meeting on Friday morning, you have to come in on Thursday, and that's $349 for the weekend. That's the early bird rate. It's only available until October 31st, and this is the second annual national convention that NAA is holding. Todd, you went to last year's convention. You recognized the number seven producer in the entire country. If you could name one thing that you got from last year's convention, and tell me that, and also tell me what you're expecting to get from this next national convention.
Well, what I picked up from the convention last year, you could put the faces to all the big producers, and you see Art Leeser making $1 million, and you see Wade Williamson that was so simpled out, and all the top 10 producers were. But the one thing that I really took from the convention, when I got back to Dallas-Fort Worth, was the opportunity that we have. It's huge. And it really didn't hit me until I went to the convention. And you see everything that NAA is doing in the managers' convention in August. They're going to, at this next convention, they're going to unveil even more opportunity. You know, last year they unveiled the bonus program.
Right.
When I talk to guys now about management, I mean, the NAA is committed to this. They started their own research company, their own lead company.
Right.
I mean, they came out with this bonus program. They talked about that at last year's convention. And now it's here.
Right.
They're going to unveil even more at the next convention. I hate answering questions that, hey, if you were at the convention, you'd have heard him talk about this. Not that I don't want to help the agents, but dadgum, how serious are you about your business?
Right.
Spend $269 or whatever it is. You know, I told a group of people last week, they're coming on board down at Beaumont. You're going to see big things from these guys.
Yeah.
They don't mind traveling. They want to build it. I said, man, we're having a convention. They said, we're there. Not even a hesitation. We'll be there. Because they see the opportunity. Nothing I said. I just told them what we had.
There you go.
Take your business serious and get to Atlanta. Only if you want to get better. If you like where you are, don't go. But I have a feeling most people are on the call and are with NAA because they don't like where they're at.
They just sent out yesterday, and I think everybody probably got this on email, Andy Albright sent it out, that our convention is not getting into a big room and having rah-rah for 3 days and hearing people walk across the stage that you'll probably never meet again talk about how great they are. That's not what this is. All of Saturday is our training classes, breakout sessions. And they sent out a list of the topics that are going to be available to attend in these breakout sessions. F&G products and the enhancements they're coming out with. The new company Chase Insurance Products are going to be there and giving some teaching on their products. Shenandoah product improvements. They're going to have all the best impaired risk products there. And there's been some special requests for Andy Albright teaching about recruiting 100 people each month, your team alone. Barry Clarkson talking about how to build a profitable million-dollar business. Philip Hudgens teaching about closing 100% using the Hudgens system, which is what you heard today is the Hudgens system on steroids. Again, Hudgens is the basic system. Also, organized growth, office organization and setup. Pam Washburn, Deborah Pendergraft, Lucy Davis, and Deb Parsons, probably the four, in my mind, the four leaders of the NAA offices in Virginia and North Carolina, they're going to be teaching about how to set up your office, how to get organized so that you are running a real-life business. This is not 3 days of rah-rah, it's 3 days of factory. It's 3 days of let's get out there and let's make some more money. Here's how to do it. All right? So that said, it is 11:05. I'm going to open it up for one question. So if you're going to ask a question, make sure it's the best question. It is now open. I don't know if you have to take your mute off.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I don't have a question, but I have a comment. Listening to Todd and Ralph yesterday and again this morning, it reminded me of a famous motto that is developed by a guy named Bruce Lee after years and years of improving his skill sets. Using no one way as way, having no limitations as limitations.
Don, I think that was the perfect way to close this out. I'm going to plank it back out real quick. I mean, that was perfect. I think what he just said was a perfect wrap-up to the call. I want to extend a thank you and a heartfelt thank you to Ralph and Todd for giving up your secrets and sharing with the team. I've always found in sharing with NAA's team that whenever you do that, whenever you open yourself up for that opportunity to share with a larger team, that it blesses you, it comes back on you, it heaps on top of your head, blessings. And that's not to get into a spiritual thing, but it goes back to the sowing and reaping. Every major religion has that idea of sowing and reaping. What you give is what you get. And I just want to thank you guys for sharing that. I want to thank you guys for leading by example, setting the example, going out there and showing that, you know what, you can write $40,000 or $50,000 in a month in production. You can make a $15,000 check in a week. It is possible. It's not just for the elite few. It's for anybody that wants it. So thank you, guys. Appreciate you tying into the call.
Okay.
And we do this call every Wednesday, guys. We'll send out more announcements, but look forward to hearing from you next week.
Thanks, Rich.
Thank you, guys.